It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert. Rob Ferret is out today. Coming up later, we'll learn about the small minority of people who have seasonal affective disorder in the summer and love the winter. And we'll ask why you love or hate winter. First, we're approaching one of the busiest shopping weekends of the year. You've got Gray Thursday, Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, and Cyber Monday. A lot of retailers competing for your dollars, and they're pulling out all the stops in order to do that. That includes stores slowly bumping up their opening times. A few years back, retailers may have opened their doors at 5 or 6 in the morning on Black Friday. Now we're looking at 5 or 6 p.m. in the evening on Thanksgiving Day. So are we on the way to stores being open all day on Thanksgiving? And what does that mean? Maybe an eventual end to Black Friday. Here with us to talk about the changing nature of Thanksgiving weekend is John Talbot. He's Associate Director of the Center for Education and Research in Retailing at Indiana University. John, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, Veronica. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. Well, John, what do you think is driving stores to open earlier and earlier into Thanksgiving Day?
Their customers. I think, stores try to do their best to make customers happy. And if customers tell them through the spending that they create that they want them to be open earlier, then they'll do it. Although I think we're starting to see a bit of a slowdown this year relative to where we've been in the past on that.
What about all the people who sign petitions and say stores shouldn't be open because the workers should be home with their families?
Well, I don't think that's all the people. I mean, there's obviously, we live in a country where everyone has an opportunity to express their views. And I think some people, have a viewpoint that stores shouldn't be open and they should be staying home with their family, and other people feel differently. And I would probably say that the majority of people feel differently. They actually do go to stores and shop. Matter of fact, something like 100 million people will shop over the next 4 days. So clearly they're voting with their feet or with their wallets, and they're telling stores to be open.
Is Black Friday really the biggest shopping day, or is it, sort of creeping earlier and earlier? In effect, is it already here?
Oh, well, I think the term Black Friday, meaning a single day event, is not true anymore. As a matter of fact, most retailers are thinking about this as at least a 4 day event, kicking things off. And Friday itself is still the largest day, but Thursday, Thanksgiving is about the same as last year, and then the next biggest day is Saturday, and then Sunday's another good day of shopping. But Black Friday is still the biggest day, and actually forecast to be the number, I think, 2 or 3 day online this year, right after Cyber Monday.
Now, our family tradition is to go to the movies on Thanksgiving after the Thanksgiving dinner. Uh-huh. I'd rather not go shopping, but am I missing out on the best deals by not being one of those first people through the door?
No. It looks like there's some evidence out there that the best shopping deals are, in fact, on Thanksgiving, but most of them are available both online and in store, so I don't know that you have to necessarily go to the stores to get them. And certainly as the season progresses and you get closer to the end of the shopping season, there's a probability, if the season's not going as well as stores might have liked, that you'll see the best deals come later if you can wait, and if you're not set on a very specific item that perhaps will be out of stock by the time the holiday season ends.
Right. I mean, I'm always amazed at the number of people who do show up on Thanksgiving the moment the stores open their doors. Are they mainly, do you think, there to make sure that they get something before it gets sold out?
Yeah, I think there's some people where it's a source of enjoyment for them, but also I think for some people, It's very important that they've allocated their dollars over a specific set of purchases. They have a very fixed amount of money that they can afford to spend this season. They want those on their gift list to end up being happy. And there's some pressure, I think, in fact, to go out and make those acquisitions at the best possible price, so it maybe frees up a few dollars for other spaces. I mean, we're still certainly seeing many Americans living in more difficult economic straits than perhaps 8 or 9 years ago on an adjusted basis. And so every penny counts.
Do you see us as being maybe on a path to all-day shopping on Thanksgiving? It seems like the hours that they open keeps getting pushed back a little bit further. There's this creep in terms of Black Friday into Gray Thursday. So do you think eventually the floodgates will just break and they'll be shopping on Thanksgiving?
If you had asked me that possibly even earlier this year, Veronica, I may have said yes, but I think the trend's going back the other direction. I think that those people out there that have voted, you know, through not shopping and through maybe other forms of communication with signs and those things out front of malls. But I think that those retailers recognize that there's a fine line and they don't want to cross. And this year, Walmart, I believe, is opening at 6 p.m. And there was a lot of speculation that they would go earlier. And if they had, I think it probably would have driven a number of other retailers to do that. But Walmart listened to their customers. Their customers said 6 p.m. is good enough. Let's keep it there. And that's what they did this year. So I don't expect it to go earlier. I think they got it timed right where young kids that are, you know, tired of their parents and want to go out, or you wanted to go see a movie. You know, there's only so much together time, I think, that works, and you need to get out of the crowded house.
Well, yeah, we've also got Small Business Saturday coming up that maybe gets overshadowed by Gray Thursday and Black Friday, but it does have its devoted fans. Do we know whether that notion of marketing it as Small Business Saturday, is that working?
I think it is. You know, I live in a small town in South Central Indiana, and we have a robust downtown economy with unique shopping experiences there. And I think it's great that they've banded together, and, you know, the town offers free parking on those days. So we're the merchants that are downtown are on equal footing with the free parking at the mall. And I think they've done a nice job of making people think about that. And, you know, it seems to be working here. And I know that it's a growing trend around the country. And I saw some data on numbers of shoppers there, and it's interesting to me that it really has traction now. I think it's something that appeals to a subset of the population.
Is it something you think that people feel good about? They're supporting their small businesses, often local businesses.
Absolutely, I think that's true. There's more to it. You know, part of the season is wanting others to feel well, and by helping others to feel well, I think we feel better about ourselves. And so when there's an opportunity to kind of mix a lot of what perhaps people view as the true sentiment of the season of giving and sharing and family and things like that with the other side of it, which is let's get some gifts for everybody. I think people like it.
And of course, so after Small Business Saturday, then we've got Cyber Monday coming up right on the heels of those. How important is Cyber Monday these days?
Cyber Monday is still the biggest online shopping day of the year. It's important, I think. Even, you know, online, the Cyber Monday originated because a lot of folks didn't have broadband connections at their houses, and so they'd get back to work on Monday after Thanksgiving and go shopping. That's not really an issue any longer, but it still remains a day where most of the online retailers have aggressive promotions, and they're up against, you know, a big day from last year, and so they're actively trying to make sure that they get the same higher level of performance this year. So it's a very important day.
Do you think that it will surpass Black Friday, or does it already?
Do you mean in terms of just online sales or overall?
Right, just Cyber Monday sales, online shopping versus going into the actual store.
Right now, brick and mortar, physical shopping is still the lion's share of what we do. It's probably, you know, at least still 3 out of every 4 shopping occasions. But online shopping's scheduled to grow at roughly 11% this year. And that's a lot slower than it has been growing, but still at 11%, you double in 7 years or 6 years. And so there's definitely a trade going on between offline and online shopping. But if anything, today I think there's more of a integrated approach by retailers of having both online and offline capability to interact with customers.
And John, what about you? Are you going to hit the doorbusters, or are you going to kick back and relax at home?
I will probably relax at home. Last year I did, just for fun, go out to a local retailer at 6 a.m. in the morning, a big retailer, and there wasn't anybody else there, but there were people inside working. And so I went to Starbucks and bought them all a big carton of coffee and asked them how their day was going.
It's a nice thing to do since you're the only one there.
I'm used to going out early on the day after Thanksgiving because I've been a retail for so long, and I just felt like I happened to be out. But I go, I'm going to go see what's going on at this local establishment.
And not much, you found out.
Not much.
Sounds like they were happy to see you with the coffee. Well, John, thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, it was fun. Thanks a lot, and hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you. That was John Talbot, Associate Director of the Center for Education and Research in Retailing at Indiana University. And now it's your turn to chime in on this at 800-642-1234. What do you think about opening stores earlier and earlier on Thanksgiving Day? Now we're looking at lots of retailers opening at 5 or 6. Presumably you'd have eaten your Thanksgiving dinner, digested some of it enough to go shopping. Do you want to go shopping on Thanksgiving Day, or do you think that there should be something sacrosanct about that day and shopping should be left till Friday? Or is this something that you're excited about? Call us 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert, and we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234 on the subject of Gray Thursday and Black Friday shopping. And we want to know what you do after you eat Thanksgiving dinner. Are you someone who wants to be out there at the stores, hitting the doorbusters, getting in there, being first in line? Or would you rather avoid the hassle, spend time with your family? Do you think that there's something kind of sacred about these holidays and that they should just be for the holidays? Are you one of those people who would sign a petition saying don't open stores on Thanksgiving? Or will you be there? 800-642-1234 is that number to call. That's 800-642-1234. And you can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. And just to give you a quick look at what retailers are doing, Kmart opening Thursday. That's Thanksgiving, looks like 6 a.m. JCPenney, Thursday at 5 o'clock in the evening. Best Buy, opening Thursday at 5 o'clock in the evening. That's Thanksgiving Day. A handful there. Walmart, opening at 6 o'clock. What about you? Are you going to be shopping at all? Is shopping part of your Thanksgiving Day holiday? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. If you don't shop, what do you do? Obviously, lots of other options for people who prefer not to shop. But what does your Thanksgiving holiday involve instead of shopping? Obviously, you might be out checking out a movie like I am. Well, let's see what Liz has to say. Liz joining us from La Crosse. Hey, Liz.
Good afternoon.
What do you do?
I've been listening to the show, and frankly, I think Thanksgiving is a day just to take it easy, enjoy friends and family, and that'll also give the retailers a chance to spend time with friends and family, too.
Okay, so you're someone who thinks that Thursday should be set aside for Thanksgiving, but would you go shopping on Friday, or is shopping not really part of what you think of when you think about this time?
Well, quite honestly, Friday would be deer hunting for me.
All right, so you've got other plans, deer hunting and Thanksgiving turkey. Got it. Well, thank you so much, Liz. Appreciate you calling and telling us. And you can join us at 800-642-1234. What are your plans after Thanksgiving? Do you go shopping or do you do something else, some other tradition? What do you think about opening stores earlier? 800-642-1234. And we go now to April. April's joining us in Oak Creek. Hi, April.
Hi. First time on the show.
Oh, welcome.
Hi. I stay indoors.
Okay,
we have our dinner and we have times with the family and tell stories about the whole year. I actually didn't know what the whole big scoop was on Black Friday. I had no clue how busy and hectic it could be.
Yeah,
I think a couple years ago, I'm like, who's at Walmart at like midnight? Apparently, everybody that they knew was there.
Yeah, a lot of people do shop. It's a big part of tradition. A lot of people like you, though, who don't go shopping on Black Friday or see that as part of the action on Thanksgiving. And you'll be inside telling stories. I like thinking about that, stories on Thanksgiving. It does seem like a good storytelling time. Well, thank you, April, and happy Thanksgiving to you. And we're going to go next to Jackie. Jackie's joining us in Wisconsin Rapids. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thanks. How are you?
I'm well. So Thanksgiving for my family is a really good bonding time with the shopping. And we actually make a game plan. So we'll eat dinner at home. And then my sisters and my mom and I go out to all the stores and we have a blast. And it's not about getting good deals or anything like that. We just, you know, we go to, like, I don't know, make fun of the people who are kind of crazy after all the deals, and just kind of be part of the atmosphere. And we just have a blast doing that.
So it sounds like you turn the shopping into a kind of holiday bonding.
We really do. And this year we actually made matching shirts for our family just to kind of have fun with it, saying, like, we're getting lucky tonight. And because it's people are so tacky going out all the time. And I think it's so fun to just kind of be a part of that and see people. And we've been known to play Marco Polo in the stores, trying to find each other and all the madness. And people get so mad, but it's just so funny.
Wow. Okay, so that's a whole new way to shop. Jackie, thank you so much for filling us in on what you do. Jackie turning it into a kind of game, family bonding. She's there, she's in the stores, but she's kind of having fun on the outsides, looking in and laughing a little bit. All right, want a happy Thanksgiving to Jackie. Let's go to Marie joining us in New Berlin. Hi there, Marie.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, thank you. What are your Thanksgiving Day plans?
Well, Thanksgiving plans is going to be with the family. Lots of food, of course, like everyone else. Watching football, going outside after we're done eating, and having our own little turkey bowl, all playing football together, even in the snow. We won't hit the stores, not at all. There's just things. I love Thanksgiving because it is such a simple holiday. It's food and family, and there's no expectations about gifts or, oh my gosh, am I going to get this or that or disappointment or anything. I think that's why it's my favorite holiday.
Right. It's one of my favorites, too. And Marie, when you do your holiday shopping, when do you do it and how do you do it?
Oh, I do some online. I try to get out of work as early as I can and hit the stores like between 3 and 6, and I try to avoid weekends, just too busy. So I get it in as best I can.
Great. Well, thank you, Marie. And Marie's talking about drawing a line at Thanksgiving. She doesn't do the shopping there. She just enjoys Thanksgiving. Call us up and tell us what you do on Thanksgiving. What do you do after you eat that turkey? Does shopping factor into it at all? Do you have fun with it, get out there and bond with your family, or is there something else that you do that you treasure more than shopping? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. And you can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. And we're going to go next to Julia in Mondovi. Hi, Julia.
Hi. Well, I think employees should be able to stay home with their families and enjoy their Thanksgiving, too. And I think it gets earlier and earlier every year. Most everybody I know doesn't like to shop. I don't usually go. Some of them go, but they go only because the offers that are there are just for a certain amount of time. So it's kind of like they're forced into it if they want to get a good deal on a certain gift. And we're going to just have dinner and then go to a movie.
Yep.
And enjoy that. So.
That sounds like what we do. Right. So you think people should spend more time with their families, and that's what you put into practice. You're spending time with your family. Julia, happy Thanksgiving to you.
You too. Thank you.
And we'll go next to Greg in Wausau. Hi there, Greg.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Great. And happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
And also to you. And what are your plans coming up for Thanksgiving?
Well, I think I'm going to do a little deer hunting in the morning, and then I'm sure I'm going to have to come home, and my wife's going to force me to help her make our Thanksgiving dinner.
So you'd rather stay out in the woods?
Yeah. Yes, a 20-plus pound bird should be enough to feed all those hungry relation that we have, but we enjoy it, and as far as Thanksgiving goes, I would like to see it stay sacred for the family. I think it's good for the families to spend some time together and try to keep the family a closer knit relation. And there's plenty of time for shopping. Thanksgiving Day is once a year, and I think there's 360 some other days everybody can shop, so I would personally like to see it stay, you know, for the family. I don't think retailers should force their employees to work on Thanksgiving. I think you know, that's a well-deserved day off. And I know there are some businesses that have to run, but I think for the majority of people, that's special time for the family.
Well, thank you so much, Greg. And I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving. And we're going to go next to one more quick call from Kyle in Baraboo. Hi there, Kyle.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, thank you.
I just wanted to say that I have off on Thursdays or for Thanksgiving, and then I work on Black Friday, so I won't be able to go shopping. And I think that it's good to have it open the night before so that people like me could have a chance to do some shopping.
That's an interesting perspective. So people have different schedules, and being a little more flexible, you're saying, on store hours Thanksgiving helps some people who might need that shopping time.
Right.
Great. Well, good luck to you, and I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving and maybe get a little shopping in, too. We've been speaking with you, the listener, as we talk about what your Thanksgiving plans are, what you're going to do. Does it include shopping, or do you have a family tradition that you think is more important to you? Or do you really enjoy the shopping? Well, you can let us know. Keep it going on the Central Time Facebook page. And happy Thanksgiving. Coming up after the news in our Wisconsin Life feature, we'll learn about passenger pigeons. I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, we'll talk about a small minority of people who experience seasonal affective disorder symptoms in the summer instead of the winter. First, it's time for Wisconsin Life. 100 years ago, a passenger pigeon named Martha died in captivity in a Cincinnati zoo. She was the last of an indigenous species that once numbered in the billions in North America, especially in Wisconsin and Michigan, where flocks would block out the sun. Faculty at Beloit College are getting students and the community excited about that bird once again.
We've been talking about passenger pigeons for a year. I mean, we're kind of like the crazy bird people on campus.
Hello, passenger pigeon fans. Thank you all for being here tonight, and welcome to Ghost Flock Flyover.
And what we find is that a lot of people don't really know the story of the passenger pigeon. So we'll say, yeah, well, we're doing this commemorative event about passenger pigeons, and we get this kind of blank stare.
But I'm going to ask you all to use your imagination a little bit. This is from Aldo Leopold's A Sand County Almanac. And what I'll be reading is on a monument to the pigeon.
My name is Dan Bartlett. I'm the curator of exhibits and education at the Logan Museum of Anthropology at Beloit College. Well, the passenger pigeon as a species at one point was probably the most numerous animal in North America, and they estimate 3 to 5 billion birds at one point. And they moved around in flocks of hundreds of millions.
Men still live who, in their youth, remember pigeons. Trees still live who, in their youth, were shaken by a living wind.
And in 1871, the largest passenger pigeon nesting ever was recorded in Wisconsin, where a flock stretched in something like 800 square miles in central Wisconsin, kind of centered on the area of Wisconsin Dells. You could not shoot into a flock without hitting some, and trappers devised ways to net them hundreds at a time. We reached a point where their population could just simply no longer sustain itself, and the population collapsed.
This song is called Pretty Bird. It's really sad.
Fly away, little pretty bird.
Humans are the reason that the passenger pigeon went extinct, and so I feel a certain amount of, I guess, residual responsibility for what we did to that bird. September 1st of 1914 is when Martha, the last of the passenger pigeons, died. And the centennial of that death, I mean, it's one of the few times where we know the date, the time, and the place when a species has gone extinct.
Your own tender love you'll bring.
It's not a one-and-done kind of thing. I mean, we're doing this same thing to the North Atlantic fisheries. we're overfishing cod and other species to the point where there's a real possibility that their populations will collapse.
Cold running spring.
You know, it's 100 years on, but we could still do the same things to other species that we did to the passenger pigeon.
Love's own tender flames warm this meeting.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television. For more information, visit wisconsinlife.org. Now, as the temperatures drop and the days get shorter, we're taking a look at seasonal affective disorder, or SAD. Now, normally when we talk about SAD, we're talking about people who get more tired or experience mild depression during the winter months. But there is a small group of people who are happier in the winter than they are in the summer. And we're taking your calls, too. Do you love winter? What is it about winter that makes you feel energized or more fatigued? What do you look forward to most in the winter? What do you think? Are you one of these people who really enjoys winter, is energized by it, and looks forward to it? One of these apparently very small number of people, but you are out there. Let us know, 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. Sue Schellenbarger is with us to talk about summer haters and the other side of SAD. She's a senior writer and work and family columnist for the Wall Street Journal. Sue, welcome back to Central Time.
It's nice to join you, Veronica. Thank you.
So starting with our basics again, define what the typical person with SAD experiences.
This is a syndrome where you have predictable, specific changes in your mood, energy, sleep patterns, appetite during the same month, year after year. And in order to truly be defined clinically as a syndrome, it usually is accompanied by depression. And this is something that's very predictable for people. Very different, though, between the winter and the summer version.
And so how is it different between the winter and the summer? How does that split happen?
It's interesting that there's a very small group of people, maybe 0.7%, according to the most off-cited study on the topic, who actually get happier when the days get shorter. They enjoy the colder temperatures. They feel more energized. They are much happier during the winter. And these are the folks with what's called summer SAD, the summer haters. And their symptoms are very different. In the summer, they become depressed, the same as winter, but they're agitated. They can't sleep. They tend to lose weight in contrast with the winter SAD people who tend to gain weight and sleep too much and crave carbs.
So that's interesting that there is this small group of people who really experience an uplifting side of winter. Are there people, though, who just enjoy winter and enjoy summer who don't experience any sort of seasonal affective but just enjoy seasons equally?
Absolutely. And most of the population, more than 9 in 10 of us, experience some seasonal changes in behavior and mood. It's very natural, and we even may just enjoy the change itself. So it's a human quality to be affected by the changing of the seasons. These folks who have the syndrome, though, it's not in any way opaque to them. They know they have it because it's very predictable at every single point in the year. It would be the summer haters are miserable from May through September, and those with the winter SAD tend to be miserable from November through March.
What causes SAD, do we know?
Well, we know pretty well about winter SAD. It's pretty well documented that winter SAD is caused by a disorder of the circadian system and probably disruptions of melatonin and of serotonin, the brain chemical that regulates mood. And that makes it easier to treat, according to the clinicians I spoke with. You can light therapy generally helps, and also antidepressant, if it is indeed a clinical type of depression. Very tough, though, for the summer haters. The folks with summer SAD, the causes aren't as clear. Most researchers agree it isn't linked to circadian rhythms, although there's been some research that suggests that. And instead, it may simply be heat and humidity. I mean, one very interesting study compared people in India with people in Italy and discovered that the Indians have a higher rate of summer SAD, perhaps because the summers there are not only very hot, but end with a very humid, steamy monsoon season when it's very uncomfortable. So it's a big clue there that it may simply be linked to a dislike of heat and humidity. And other studies suggest it may be allergies to pollen. And some of the summer haters I interviewed said pollen did seem to play a role in their depression in the summer.
Hmm. Well, I know with the people who have winter sad, a typical piece of advice is to sit in front of those lights, the full spectrum lights that can help the brain with the melatonin production and all of that. What can you do if you have summer sad?
The best advice I got was rather obvious, to be honest. Try to keep cool. Try to plan those social activities. One of the toughest things for the summer haters is so much social activity in the summer takes us out in the sun and the heat. They become isolated. They really can't enjoy a barbecue. Some of the folks I interviewed said that, you know, a barbecue was just torture for them with the heat and the sweating, and they really would try to go maybe for their spouse and really not enjoy it. So it's really important to just accept that about yourself and plan some activities in cool environments. Maybe, you know, go to movies with friends, museums. One woman I interviewed said she plans way ahead for lots of museum passes for the summer with her kids because she just doesn't enjoy being out in the sun. Others took kind of extreme measures to stay cool. One gentleman from New York who tries to escape to Australia whenever he can, the Australian winter when it's summer here, says that when it's summer in New York, he sometimes takes a shower and just stands all soaking wet in front of his open refrigerator so he can actually get a meal down. He really has a hard time even eating in the summer because he's so uncomfortable. So really, it's kind of tinker, you know, with whatever solutions work for you.
Well, I mean, that raises the question, someone like that, would they be better served moving to a climate that's more in keeping with what their body wants?
Some people do that. One young woman, a sales consultant in Los Angeles, said that she had just been so miserable summer after summer trying to go to the beach with her friends and, you know, just feeling like an outlier until she luckily got a client in Alaska one summer. She had the best summer of her life, and she said, I realized it isn't me, it's my body. My body, it just does not adapt well to heat. So she's planning now on summering in Alaska for the rest of her life if she could manage that, and that seems to do the trick for her.
Well, let's take a caller now. We've got Ted joining us from Potosi. Hi, Ted.
Hello.
Do you have sad in one way or the other?
Yes, I have been diagnosed actually with SAD, seasonal affective disorder. It seems to be more treacherous as the winter tears on. Early on, it's not so bad. I actually am a winter person. I pick winter over summer.
So you would say that you're someone who has the summertime SAD. You struggle more in the summer.
Not really. Summer, it's more of a comfort issue. The heat, you know, is hard for me to handle, but I would say the shorter days and the darkness is harder to deal with psychologically, especially as winter bears down, like get into late January and February, then I really get sadder. But I have a message for all of you people who have that problem. My two things that I love about winter is that your crackers stay fresh and there's no bugs.
I hadn't thought about the crackers angle. Well, thank you for that, Ted. Appreciate your sharing your experience. All right. Well, what about you? Do you have sad, summer sad or winter sad? If you look at Ted, he has a hard time with winter, but he has found things that he enjoys about winter anyway. You can call us at 800-642-1234. How do you cope with seasonal affective disorder? Are you one of these few people who really feels the most miserable, depressed, lethargic, loss of appetite, all of that, in the summer instead of the winter? And if so, what is it about the winter that refreshes you? Let us know your experience dealing with the seasons. 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll pick up our conversation and take your calls in just a minute. Now a check of the latest headlines with Kristen Durst from WPR News. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing our conversation with Sue Schellenberger of the Wall Street Journal about the other side of seasonal affective disorder, people who thrive in the winter months and feel down in the summer months. And we're taking your calls, too. What do you love or maybe hate about winter? Which side of this coin are you if you have seasonal affective disorder? Is winter your time of happiness or is summer your time of happiness? If you're one of these few people who experiences sad in the summer, what is it like to experience that? You're a little out of the norm for most people with seasonal affective disorder. What is it like to experience sad in the summer? And how do you cope? 800-642-1234. And we have Barb joining us in Menominee. Hi, Barb.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I can't tell you how glad I am to hear somebody finally talking about this, because I've always felt like I was really the oddball out. I do not like summer. I stay in coolness as much as possible, lose my appetite. I lose a lot of weight in the summertime. I can't wait for September to come. I just kind of endure June, July, and August.
And then you wait for those months. And how do you feel once September hits?
Well, it starts getting better. I start getting more energy, and I'm more interested in things. I don't know that I'm really depressed in the summertime, but I feel better when it's cooler. I just feel better. My sister was the same way. She thinks it's a genetic thing.
Mm. Well, yeah, thank you so much, Barb, for sharing that.
Really interesting, Barb. Thank
Sue, what do you make of her comments?
I think that's fascinating. She sounds like a pretty resilient person, and I think her comments are, you know, feeling like the odd man out is really what I heard from almost all the people I interviewed who have a summer sad. They just don't know how to explain when somebody says, hey, let's go to the beach, yeah, and they're going, oh, I think I'd rather stay in. Or, you know, I'm going to have a barbecue. Let's go, you know, put on our swimming suits. And they just, for them, it's just not fun. On the other hand, when daylight savings time ends and the, you know, the evenings start earlier, they're really delighted to go into the darkness. It's just more comforting to them. And as Barb kind of described, it just feels more vibrant, more comfortable generally.
We have a comment I want to read from Tim on Facebook, who says, I hate summer. For me, the ideal year would be 6 months of autumn, 1 month of winter, 4 months of spring, and 1 month of summer. I love the way he broke it down, because I'd never thought of it like that before. But you know what? I think I'm completely on board with Tim's version of the year. Maybe I'd add a couple more months of summer, maybe one more. But if only we could break it down the way we wanted.
Wouldn't that be great? Our own seasonal timer.
Well, what about you? What would your breakdown be? You can let us know at 800-642-1234. What would your ideal year be so as not to experience any of those lows that come along with the seasons? 800-642-1234. And we're going to go now to Teresa in Darien. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. I'm a huge fan of WPR. I love it.
Oh, thank you. And how about winter? Are you loving winter?
I do love winter. I live in a house that has a southern exposure. And when the sun is low in the sky, it lights up my house. And it's just beautiful. Very, very pleasant. I love it. I sleep way better because as the sun sets, I get sleepier, and then about bedtime, I can go to sleep much more easily in the winter than I can in the summer.
And I think that there is some science that we sleep better when we are cooler, and I don't know, you know, about internally inside our houses. But Sue, do you have any feedback about why we might rest better in the winter?
That's really interesting. I think that assuming we keep a fairly normal rhythmic workday and evening, the coming of the darkness, you know, helps us, you know, sort of cycle down. And it's easier for us to just say, okay, sun's down, I'm going to, you know, go in and start to quiet down. And this is something we do less as a society today. You know, where if summer keeps us up late, maybe we're working late and we go outside and it's still light, we know very well that light really stimulates, you know, the body to stay awake and stay alert. So probably, you know, Teresa may have the best of both worlds here, where she can enjoy enough light in the winter coming in from her lovely southern exposure and still go to sleep well at night in the coolness and dark winter nights. It sounds lovely.
Well, thank you so much, Teresa, for calling and sharing. And we're going to go next to Kyle, is joining us in Milwaukee. Hi, Kyle.
Hi.
What's your take on summer and winter?
Well, for me, I prefer summer over winter. And like I was calling or saying to the screener, if I don't keep myself busy in the winter, I easily fall into like a melancholy or sadness, because I really enjoy the extra sun. I like feeding the squirrels and the birds and you know, sitting outside and watching them. And, oh, of course, they all go away for the winter. Mm-hmm. And I just had one question. I worked night shift for, a long time, and I was in the military in submarines. Mm-hmm. So, of course, there is no time. Does like a night shift, have you found, have effect on that? Because I've really found that when I don't see the sun as much, it really, really bothers me more than it does most other people. And take the answer off here.
Okay, thanks, Kyle. Sue?
What a great question. there's plenty of research documenting the disruptive impact of shift work and certainly submarine work on people's circadian rhythms and their moods. I think it, very often people on shift work have light therapy as a routine part of their day, and they resort to sort of artificial means to create night at home by truly darkening their room and creating routines, if they're able to do this, to really relax and cycle down before their night, which is everybody else's day. But what Kyle describes is, you know, it's interesting. It may have sensitized him, you know, to have so much of his life spent in sort of arrhythmic circadian rhythms. He may now appreciate, you know, sort of the natural seasons even more. And his mention of the animals is really quite evocative. Some of the people I talked with about this said that, you know, they're very sad, you know, when the birds migrate away from them. It's all of these signs tell us, you know, that things are about to change. Really fascinating call by Kyle.
Right, there is really something there in the winter, unless you're someone who has a lot of recreation outside and doing winter sports and whatnot. I mean, life really moves indoors for a lot of us, and that could be something, just the lack of connection that you take for granted when it's warmer out.
That's so true. You have to work much harder at it, and I think, you know, a lot of people hit the gym harder, you know, if they're like Kyle, you know, prone to winter sadness. They really have to work hard to offset the carb cravings and the lethargy that hits those of us who are sad in the winter. So really smart to do what he does and really try to be more active.
And we'll go back to our callers now, and you can join us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. How do you cope with seasonal affective disorder in Wisconsin? Or maybe you're someone who gets sad in the summer, but either way, how do you handle the different moods that come with the changing of the seasons? Dale is with us next in Wisconsin Rapids. Hi, Dale.
Hi. Good to hear you today. Yeah, I prefer winter all around. I don't like cutting grass. I'd rather shovel snow. I like going out with the dog out when the snow's blowing and it's colder out. It just makes me happier. And I work in a boiler house and I work shift work. And so in the summertime, it just exacerbates the heat. And I'm pretty much crabby and miserable most of the summer. The winter, it's a good thing it's longer in Wisconsin, because that makes me at least tolerable for a larger chunk of the year. So thanks for letting me call it.
So you're liking the coolness, Dale. How do you deal with the dark? Is that a problem?
The dark doesn't bother me a bit. No, actually, I can enjoy walking around town with the street lights on and going across the bridge with the the snow and ice on the river, and I find it really sort of therapeutic, actually. So.
Great. Well, thank you so much for that perspective, Dale. And, you know, listening to some of these people is making me fonder of winter than I would normally be.
It's true. One winter lover I interviewed loved going out and shoveling snow. He looked so happy doing it that his neighbor ran out of the house and took his picture. It's like just a real joyful thing, just as Dale experiences it.
Well, thank you so much for that call, Dale. And Marsha on Facebook has said, yes, I love winter. I can't stand the heat, because since the day I was born, it makes me tired and cranky. Bring on winter. Well, she's got her wish. I think pretty much winter is here, at least in Wisconsin. Natasha on Facebook says, I like the winter, but no more than other seasons of the year, especially spring and fall. Summer is her favorite season for its bright and long days. I do not like short and dark days. So we'll leave Natasha with the last word there. And Sue, thank you so much to you for joining us.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you, Veronica.
We've been speaking with Sue Schellenbarger, senior writer and work and family columnist for the Wall Street Journal. She was with us to talk about the other side of seasonal affective disorder. And you can still weigh in on your preference for summer or winter, how you cope with the changing seasons and the moods that comes with the seasons, on the Central Time Facebook page. Coming up, we'll check the pulse of the U.S. economy with Central Time economics correspondent Chris Farrell. I'm Veronica Rickert. Rob Ferret is back tomorrow. The news is next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.